What's the best tiny whoop you can build or buy today? I don't know, but you know who does know? Aaron Ciotti, the tiny whoop king. Actually, what are you, the micro king.
There it is.
The king of, you know more about small quadcopters than just about anybody I can think of. And that's why Aaron Ciotti is the curator of the tiny whoop page on my website. fpvknowitall.com. And today, Ciotti, I called you here because I want to go through this page with you and get the inside scoop on why you picked the stuff you did for this page. It's not everybody agrees with you, and sometimes they want to argue.
Sometimes.
Always.
Always.
Okay, so anybody who wants to know a good tiny whoop stuff to buy, this is the page to do it. And if you think you might want to argue, at least watch this video and find out why he made the decisions he did. So where are we going to start, Ciotti? How do you want to go through this?
I guess we can start in the bind and fly section because, man, there are some really strong options nowadays.
Yeah. Okay. So bind and fly, we've got the Happy Model Mobula 6 65 millimeter. Certainly popular. What do you like about it?
Yeah, the new Mobula 6 ELRS to me is kind of the one whoop to rule them all. It really will do everything. It works inside better than anything else, but then it will also work outside and you can do jungle gym bashing sessions with it. And it's really, if you're only going to have one, that is the one. And it's also the base of what I've found to be like the best flying, what I call the ultimate indoor tiny whoop.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that you like about tiny whoops is you really, really like high KV motors. And like, I remember when the Mob 6 came out with the 19,000 KV motors and everybody was like, oh, that's so high KV, but you go even higher.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So with the tiny little motors, in order to get really good PID loop performance, one of the things for freestyle, at least, that we've found is going down to the gem fan biblades. It's just a brilliant prop, arguably the best of the tiny whoop props. And with that prop, the only problem is being a biblade, right? You have to really put a bunch of RPM into it to get good power. On top of that, though, my goal for a couple of years now has been to try to figure out how to do like the fully three-dimensional flying that we do outside inside with tiny whoops. And really the only way to do that is to have the extra power, which we've managed to achieve finally up at the 28,000, 30,000, and now even 32,000 KV range. So yeah, we're able to get like the full tilt off throttle throw moves, big power loops, Matty flips, all the stuff that we're doing outside in, you know, 800 square foot apartments in some cases.
Well, that's that. I mean, you maybe you, but I still struggle with indoor. Maybe somebody like me should I choose like a lower KV or maybe a beginner, or it would be better to just everybody should get 28,000 KV motors and use like a throttle output, a motor output limit in Betaflight if you need to tame it.
Yeah, that's really my suggestion, is to like bare minimum 26,000 KV to me should be the bare minimum. If you want less than that, you can motor limit it down 90%, 80%. The internet scientists say that you don't want to motor limit down below like 65 to 70%. That's where you'll actually start to see some throttle resolution things happening. But yeah, 26,000. I mean, for me, actually on my live streams, I recommend like 30,000. And then you can motor limit down to like 25 or 24 or 23 if you want less. Although I will say, even if you leave the KV up high, in terms of flying tiny whoops indoor, one of the real secrets is throttle expo. Especially with those higher KV motors, you lose significant throttle resolution. But when you're flying in the house, you're usually around 30 to 35% throttle. So you can put a really strong throttle expo on. I use a value of 40. And it really tames it down inside. So at full throttle, you've got a ton of power, but then in the middle of the throttle around 30%, 30, 35%, you get a real nice buttery soft throttle, so that you can change your elevation by fractions of an inch rather than feet at a time.
That's interesting. I've always been a proponent of linear throttle for the predictability, but when you've got something with this insane power to weight ratio, that's going to be one of the times when throttle expo might start to make sense.
Yep. Same thing for me too. I run linear throttle on everything other than the smaller stuff. Although, to be honest, using it on the smaller stuff has had me creeping into some of the other rigs just a little bit.
I don't think Express LRS is going to be a controversial choice here. I think it makes sense. It's got great range and penetration, and it's really easy for these manufacturers to build it into their flight controllers because it's open source. There just isn't really anything that can compete with Express LRS in, despite the fact that it's a pain in the ass to learn how to get it set up for some people. So we'll just take that as given. The video transmitter on the Mobe 6 is 200 milliwatts. I thought Mobula had a 400 milliwatt flight controller. Am I wrong about that?
I think the X12 that comes in the Mobula 7 will go up to 400. From what I've heard, though, that 400 setting is like, it's internally called like a YOLO setting. Right. And it really only hits that number for like a split second before it gets too hot and ramps the power down. So 200 is probably, you know, the right number. And it's probably where most of these that go to 400 end up, you know, within a couple of seconds. To be honest, though, I mean, these 65 mil whoops, they're really for indoors, and inside you're going to want to be down on 25 milliwatts to reduce the multipathing.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Just the higher power just gives you stronger reflections and more multipathing. Okay, so that's the Mobe 6. And I think we would say that if somebody was coming straight out of the blue and was like, what tiny whoop should I buy? This is the one we would recommend.
Maybe. The Newbie Drone Acrobee might actually be a better choice for the brand new kind of person. The Mobula 6 is good for someone who wants to grow with it and have something that like performs absolutely amazing down the road. So for something that's more upgradable, I think the Mobula 6, but for someone brand new, the Acrobee 65 is a great option. It's coming out of Newbie Drone, which is in California. So you can call someone or email someone that's going to get back to you for tech support help. That's one of the real strong suits of that rig.
Well, if you're in the United States, then that's correct. A plus for you. If you're outside of the US, of course, the shipping from the United States is going to be a deal breaker for a lot of people.
Very true.
What do you like about the Acrobee for a beginner over the Mobe 6? Because like on paper, as the text says, on paper, it's a little hard to justify choosing the Acrobee. It just loses in a lot of categories, price, weight, etc. So what has the Acrobee got going for it?
To be honest, the main thing is just the support. Having a company that's willing to support it. I've never really heard of anyone being able to get in touch with Happy Model and have, you know what I mean? And like have somebody actually help them get it up in the air. So I think that's really the strong suit of the Acrobee. Although the Cockroach 65 frame does have a lifetime warranty, which is really slick.
True.
Frames are pretty inexpensive, so you know it's going to be tough to get your money's worth out of that. But it is a nice thing that it's got, and then it's just very plug and play, right? Like the camera plugs in. The motors do use specific proprietary plugs, not proprietary per se, but like Newbie Drone and Emacs are the only ones that use them.
Right. So I guess we could say that the Acrobee is going to be a little bit easier for someone to get started with. And a little bit easier if you need to buy a new camera or you need to buy a spare motor, you're going to be able to swap it out without soldering anything on. But as soon as you start wanting to upgrade and play and, ooh, I think I'll try these motors, you're going to be sort of boxed into that ecosystem. And that's also true for the firmware. Newbie Drone has their own build of Betaflight, and you can only get it from them. And is that also true for the BLV4?
Yeah, very much so. Newbie Drone uses a different OSD chip, so they have to save room on their boards. So they have to come up with a specific hex for Betaflight every time that it gets updated, which sometimes can be a little frustrating if you absolutely have to have the brand new firmware right now. But to be really honest, as of Betaflight 4.3, I think all the low-hanging fruit has kind of been grabbed. Yeah, I don't think it's as big a deal anymore needing to get the new software the day that it comes out. Because, it's all so good now.
All right, so both of those quadcopters use analog video systems, which for people who are new, that's like old 1980s television that was broadcast over the air. It's not high definition. It breaks up. It gets all wavy and staticky. This Mobula 6 HD0 is one of the only tiny whoops in this size that has a digital video system. Why don't we see any of the others?
So digital video systems on Tiny Whoops are really challenging. HD Zero has done it the best. It's basically a 4 gram weight penalty. Walk Snail also has a system, but that's essentially an 8 gram weight penalty. When your entire rig weighs less than 20 grams or slightly more than 20 grams, 4 grams, like percentage wise, is a really big deal, right? We blow that up to like 5 inch scale, and that's like taking a GoPro on or off, a lighter GoPro, like a session.
Yeah.
So yeah, the digital video systems are really challenging. Also, we run into stuff like their power requirements, right? These things run off of 1S batteries, which at max are at 4.35 volts. So powering them becomes a little bit challenging. The Walk Snail system will actually shut off if you run the battery down too low. So it's a little bit tough because primarily you're going to lose quite a bit of performance from just the weight of these digital systems.
Yeah. So if you're interested in flying Tiny Whoops and you're interested in digital systems, there are very few bind and flies you can even buy, especially in the 65 millimeter size. Once you go up to 75 or 85 millimeters, I know there's some Walk Snail and even at least one DJI out there in the like the 2 inch prop size. But that's sort of not the class that we're in. And I think you and I would both agree that if you want to fly 65 millimeter Tiny Whoops, HD Zero is the choice.
Absolutely.
With digital.
Absolutely. I think it's the only choice, to be honest. I can't really see Walk Snail. But with 65 millimeter rigs, like the biggest battery you're going to get is 350, but that's not a folded cell battery.
Right.
So realistically, on a 65 rig, you're limited to a 300 mAh battery, and adding 4 grams to that rig, I mean, that's about the max that you're going to want to add.
Now, all that being said, you still fly primarily analog, don't you? Do you fly
Very much so.
Yeah. So there's no reason why somebody would have to get a digital system. But if you did want to get a digital system, this is going to be the one to get. Now, the next one we're going to look at has gone from 65 millimeter up to 75 millimeter. So it's a little bit bigger. What would make someone choose this one?
So 75 millimeter rigs are a better choice for somebody that wants to both kind of play around with flying inside, but more primarily fly outside or in much bigger spaces, like in your own home with your own stuff. I think 65 is the way to go. It's going to hit your belongings less hard and break less stuff.
Right.
But like if you're at work and there's a warehouse or something like that, 75 rigs are probably going to be a better bet. Or if you want to fly outside, my favorite use of 75 mil motor to motor rigs is jungle gyms. In like most neighborhoods, there's a couple of with HSAs at least, there's a nice jungle gym, and that is just such a playground for these things. And the 75 millimeter rigs are perfect for them.
Okay, and this is basically the 75 millimeter version of the Mobula 6. So everything good about the Mob 6, also good about the Mob 7. Then we've got the 75 millimeter version of the HD Zero Mob 7. To me, this is like the perfect digital Tiny Whoop, because I think the 75 millimeter handles the weight of the video transmitter just a little better. And then lastly, we've got the iFlight Alpha A85. And this one is, I mean, is an 85 millimeter quad even a Tiny Whoop at this point?
That's a good question. I mean, it looks like a Tiny Whoop, so we put it in.
And the reason we put it in is because this is as small as you can get a DJI video transmitter and like still have anything that's even gosh dang worth flying. What's your opinion on this? Is it it's worth flying, or is it no, it's pretty good?
I think it's worth flying. You're not going to want to crash it as hard as some of the smaller rigs. One of the great things about a really lightweight Tiny Whoop is you can just bounce them off the walls all day and they survive. So once the weight, you know, increases, that kind of goes out the window. This thing weighs a little bit more than what a plastic frame is going to want to handle. So
yeah,
you're not going to want to, you know, you're not going to want to be thrashing it. But for DJI to have something, to have a Tiny Whoop setup, that's pretty slick, and that could be really fun. And just the whole Tiny Whoop experience is really great. So if you came into the hobby in the last couple of years and you only have DJI stuff, I think this is a great option to kind of open your eyes to what it's like to be a little mosquito flying around your room.
Yeah, I would say you would get much better results off of a 95 millimeter quad, even like a Cinewhoop maybe, although they're not going to be great at acro, or something like a 3-inch toothpick, which we have another page. We're not talking about toothpicks today, but a toothpick is going to be way better at handling the weight, but it's not going to have prop guards and you're not going to fly it inside. So So this sort of scratches that itch for people who have DJI goggles. So those are the bind and flies. And now we come to a couple of signature builds. And the first one is a freestyle tiny build. Tell us what is this one for? And then walk us through your part selection.
Sure. So this is really the build that I've been working on for literally years. Just trying to figure out how to have something that will give me as close to the outdoor full tilt freestyle experience, but be safe to fly inside, easy to build, off the shelf parts, so that kind of anybody can do this for themselves. And also, like, something I learned being in motorsports way back when is that when you have a ton of custom parts on your rig that you're going to be flying, driving hard, whatever it may be, when something bad happens and that stuff breaks, you've got to put all that time back into recustomizing. So realistically, if you want to focus on flying, in this case driving, you want to use as many off-the-shelf parts as possible so that you can A, have extras, but B, if something fails, you can just buy one and drop it in, and away you go again.
So you start off with the Mobula 6, which when we were first laying out this page, I was like, wouldn't you like buy a frame and buy a flight controller and build it like you do a 5-inch? But no, you just say buy a Mob 6 and then upgrade these parts.
Right. So the Mobula 6 has the best AIO, the best canopy, and the best camera. And if you buy those three things separately, it costs what the Mobula 6 ready to fly.
So you may as well just buy the bind and fly and then get those parts. Okay.
Yeah, you'll get a set of props, you'll get a set of motors, you'll get a frame. The frame will break pretty quickly. One of the first upgrades is right next door there, the Meteor 65 frame. The motors are okay. They've made the Mobula 6 with a couple of different motors. They used to make it with 0702 26,000s, which is brilliant. If you can find it with those motors, that's definitely the one to have. I haven't seen it with those motors in a while. Nowadays, I've been seeing it with lower KV 802s or 702s, which are okay, but realistically swapping the motors out is going to do the most for performance.
Okay. So we upgrade the frame. This is a pretty durable frame. Doesn't have a lifetime warranty like that cockroach frame from Newbie Drone.
It doesn't, but you probably won't need it. I've only broken two of those Meteor 65 frames, and I've flown thousands of Tiny Whoop batteries.
All right. The antenna that the Mob 6 comes with is just a little, piece of wire, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little simple whip antenna. So the Singularity is a great upgrade, and it doesn't really weigh much. It's only going to add, I think, 0.75 grams or so. Well worth it.
Mm-hmm. And you've got two versions linked here, the short and the ultra short. I'm not seeing a picture of the ultra short.
The ultra short is the best bet for saving the most weight. The slightly longer one, and the ultra short, you can actually fit inside the canopy. It's one of the things I love about the Mobula 6 canopy, other than it being indestructible. So if you want like the tightest, most simple, most durable setup, it's definitely going to be the ultra short. And then the longer antenna, you can hang it out of the canopy and you'll get a little bit better coverage for that. If you're for some reason want to fly far away with a Tiny Whoop.
The next upgrade you suggest is upgrading the battery connector. They come with a PH 2.0 connector, which is sort of the standard connector. The BT 2.0 connector has lower resistance, performs a lot better. Everyone should upgrade their Tiny Whoops to a BT 2.0, right? That's the gist of it?
Yeah, other than I've already got a bunch of PH 2.0 batteries, there's just no reason to stay with PH 2.0. BT 2.0 gives you more power and more runtime, which is pretty rare. Usually we have to pick.
That's a good point, though. If you don't have batteries that have a BT 2.0 connector on them, you can't just buy an adapter. That sort of the whole point is that you need a BT 2.0 connector on the battery and the quad. So you're going to want to buy batteries with BT 2.0 connectors on them. And I would say no matter what you're trying to do with your Tiny Whoop, this is a worthwhile upgrade.
I agree.
As far as batteries go, Tiny Whoop batteries are usually awful. They just have, even the good ones are terrible. But we've got some really good ones.
Yeah, Newbie Drone kind of changed the game a year and a half, 2 years ago, with their Nitro Nectar Gold batteries being the first square cell or folded cell batteries that came out. Unfortunately, they were and are still on PH 2.0. Luckily, about a year ago, Weebleed and Tattoo and TinyWhoop.com came out with folded cell versions of BT 2.0 batteries, and there's just they just demolish everything else in terms of performance. So there's really nothing other than those that we should be running.
Now they are a little more expensive. What do they run for just a single one?
I want to say they're $7-ish per.
Yeah, so like compared to $3 or $4 for a typical one, so they're actually like close to twice as expensive. But
I'd argue twice the performance.
They perform so much better, and frankly, if you take care of them, they'll last longer. Like obviously, if you run your batteries down to 2.5 volts every time you fly, you're going to kill it no matter what. But I've had so many tiny whoop batteries, the older kind, that just puff and are terrible, and they're worn out. I'm not like going to guarantee you these will last twice as long, but I think it's worth buying them if you at all have the budget for them.
So. Agreed. I've got some of these batteries that have hundreds, literally hundreds of cycles on them, and they're still fine. I don't take care of them super well, but I mean, I do try to not fly the rig until it falls out of the sky all the time, but it does happen. I would say maybe 1 in 50 batteries, I'll drop it out of the sky. So yeah, I'm somewhere in between taking care of the batteries versus just pounding on them. They hold up really well. It's scary.
Yeah. And then as far as props go, we talked earlier about how you like high KV motors, and these GemFan props are sort of the best ones to pair with those high KV motors. Would you still recommend these props if somebody did have a tiny whoop that was in the, like, let's say they got the 19,000 KV or the 21,000 KV motors instead of the 27 or 30,000 KV?
Yeah, I mean, with props, I always recommend that folks buy a bunch of different options. They're one of the cheapest things that we can buy, and they have the biggest, change, let's say. I was going to say improvement, but the biggest change in flight performance, kind of like tires on a car, really.
Yeah.
So, I always recommend that. Your question, though, with the lower KV, I would definitely recommend folks get tri-bladed propellers to try to help with those lower KV motors. The PID loop performance is going to struggle a little bit because the smaller stator motors, they have a little bit harder of a time with the heavier 3 and even 4 blade props, but you're going to make up for that by getting a little bit of extra power. And with tiny whoops, more power tends to be the one thing that actually improves the flight experience the most. So even though your response time will go down a little bit with the tri-blades, the raw power will go up and the actual flight experience will be better.
Okay.
The other thing I didn't mention earlier about the bi-blades that's kind of interesting is that bi-blades are a little bit more loose, is what most people use. And for freestyle with these really lightweight rigs, that actually, again, gives you that more 5-inch kind of experience where it's off throttle, it's going to be able to slide around a little bit more. And it's not so loose that it's going to make it like unflyable in the tight spaces of your house.
We also see racers running those high KV 0702 motors, though. Are they also running bi-blades?
No, the racers are pretty much all running tri-blades at this point. Okay. For the grip. And then they're motor scaling down to like usually around 24,000 KV.
Okay, so they'll use tri-blades with a little bit lower KV, and that's where they want to be. But this is a freestyle build. And so then lastly, why is this like your favorite tiny whoop motor?
One of the main reasons is that it's the most available. This is...
You can actually buy it. Okay. Yeah. That counts for a lot.
Yep, for sure. And it's also kind of like the nice middle ground. Tiny Whoop does have a 702 that's 32,000 KV that I personally like, but it's just a little bit harder to fly than the 30,000. And like these high KV 702s, like they are difficult. It's going to be a real challenge. It's going to take a bunch of batteries to get used to them. You're probably going to have to use some throttle expo. But, you know, hey, welcome to FPV, right? And like, having a motor that you can motor limit down to like maybe 25, 26,000 KV, get warmed up, get the feel for it, and then you can slowly work the power up as you become more comfortable with it. Like that, to me, that's kind of everything. And trying to get people hooked up with something that'll last them a long time, I think that's really important.
Am I seeing that these are Unibel motors? They have a one-piece bell?
They are. And they have solder pad. They have a PCB on the bottom, so you can solder different motor wires onto it in case you wanted to use them on like a newbie drone AIO that uses a different style of a smaller plug.
Wow, that's pretty slick. Next up, we've got a full tilt tiny whoop race build. The page didn't originally have a racing build. And we actually got a little bit of static from people who said, how can you have the ultimate Tiny Whoop page if you don't have a racing build? So, yeah, what's different about a racing build compared to your freestyle build?
So the race builds really prioritize grip, runtime efficiency, as well as durability, I guess you could say. The freestyle build also really relies on, but mainly just grip and then a specific amount of runtime. I think one of the reasons we didn't have that page initially is that I'm not a race pilot.
Right.
So I was a little bit out of my depth, but luckily there's a couple brilliant folks in my live streams that are racers and track sort of that racing community that helped me put this together. And a lot of the suggestions here have been generated from, there's a guy who actually gives all of the top racers a survey about their gear. And then he makes these excellent Excel spreadsheets showing like how many of the racers use each individual bit of gear. So that's primarily how I pick these parts, how many racers, and also kind of looking at like the top racers, what they're running to figure out what the most popular in that community is.
Now, it's interesting to me that we didn't start with like a Mobula 6 bind and fly. You've got all the parts individually listed. Why is that?
Yeah, it's a pretty specific kind of setup of parts, and it just doesn't make sense financially in this case to buy that bind and fly and use the pieces. We wouldn't use the AIO. We wouldn't use the camera. So it just makes more sense to keep it as cheap as possible to do it individually, like the most of the rest of our builds in this hobby.
The motors reflect the advice you talked about earlier, where we've gone to a slightly lower KV and a tri-blade prop. So that makes sense for racers. They need to keep that KV down because they have to get enough runtime to finish qualifying and finish the race. And higher KV motors tend to suck your batteries down a little faster. The flight controller doesn't have a built-in video transmitter. Now, normally you want that on a Whoop to save weight. Why are we using a discrete video transmitter here?
So the racers have to be kind to one another, basically, and not stomp all over each other's video signal. And Happy Model does not do a great job with their VTXs in that respect. There tends to be a significant amount of bleed. So getting four pilots up in the air at once, that's a really important thing. So all of the racers have gone to a heavier setup, which is kind of counterintuitive, but I think it's the race organizers that are really saying like, hey, look, we need you guys to get on VTXs that have as little bleed as possible. The TBS Unify Pro 32 Nano and the regular Unify Nano are really good options for that.
Okay. We've got an upgraded antenna, the small antenna.
The antennas are kind of interesting. So the small antenna is a little on the fragile side, but it's incredibly lightweight. So what the racers do is for the really important races, they'll swap the small antenna on, but then for warm-ups and just practice, they'll actually usually run either a Whip antenna or a regular True RC Singularity. Kind of cool.
They're trying to make up for some of that weight, like of the video transmitter, by going to an ultra lightweight antenna.
Yep.
But you're saying that for somebody who wasn't concerned about like the ultimate in performance, they would be better served by getting the True RC Singularity, which is more durable.
Absolutely.
We got the same recommendations for power, the square cells and the BT2.0 connector. Anything to say about the camera?
TinyWhoop.com is kind of always there in terms of camera tech. Their pinch camera is the one that gets used by most folks. There is an ultra wide angle version of it that folks that like really super wide field of view might dig. But yeah, that regular pinch camera is just fantastic.
All right. So that's our racing build. I guess you could do a lot worse than looking at what the pros and the winners are using and then just copying them.
Agreed.
Now we've got a 75 millimeter build. And we talked earlier about the places where 75 millimeter is going to excel over 65 millimeter. A lot of these parts we're going to recognize, like the True RC Singularity. The motor is a 1002. That's a pretty new size. What makes that motor stand out?
Basically, the ability and the stator volume to control the bigger 1.6 inch propellers, specifically up into the tri-blade world. The 1002s are going to work with both the Gemfan biblade and the tri-blades. If you're just going to run the bi-blades, though, you can actually drop down to an 802. An 802 stator volume motor will control those 1.6-inch bi-blades, and you can get them in even higher KVs, so you can actually make more power with like a 26, 27,000 KV 802 motor. Nowadays, Tiny Whoop actually has those motors with a 1.5 millimeter motor shaft so that they are durable. The 1.5 mil motor shaft is another advantage of these 1002s, in that you're going to get that extra durability from it. When you go from the 65 millimeter motor to 75 millimeter motor, the weight goes up significantly, and a 1 millimeter motor shaft is just not quite durable enough for hard crashing. Gotcha. So yeah, that's kind of the
True? So like, if we go back and we look at these Happy models, are they going to have the 1.5 millimeter shaft?
No. Everything 65 millimeter is on the 1 millimeter shaft.
I see. So the 65s are okay, but the 75 millimeter wants that thicker shaft for more durability. Otherwise, you're just going to be killing motors.
Agreed.
As far as the batteries go, the 75 millimeters use a 450 milliamp hour pack, which, being a little bit larger, in my experience, they usually do a little better than the 300 milliamp hours used on the smaller quads. But even still, man, this square cell version is such an upgrade, and
it's
really
incredible.
Should be what you get. There are a lot fewer of them. Like, this is the only 450 milliamp hour square cell I know of. Only Webleed has it. So
yep.
Thank you, Webleed.
There is an Emax 300 mAh square cell, but it has a GNB27 lead on it. So either you're going to put your rig on GNB27 or cut it off and swap it over to BT2.0. That's what I personally run. It's a little bit of a pain, but with 802s on the Gemfan bi-blade, the runtime is actually fine with that battery. It's not until you go to the tri-blades or the bigger motors, or if you just want the longer runtime to be flying outside, that these 450s are a really good option.
So which would you recommend if somebody just wanted to pick one? Would you recommend the 1002 motors with the tri-blades, or would you recommend the 802 motors with the bi-blades, or the 1002s with the bi-blades, I guess?
You know, it's really a toss up. If you want to have something that is a little bit better for indoor and outdoor use, I would go 802 bi-blades. And then I would, this is why I got into these Emax 300 mAh batteries, was to try to make it work inside. And then if it's more for outside stuff, the 450 batteries, the bigger motors, and then the tri-blades, unless you're really going for, if you, somewhere in between is kind of the Jungle Gym Basher thing where you need the okay. ultimate durability.
Yeah.
And so that's where I would go 802 bi-blades, maybe with the bigger batteries.
But you want an 802 motor with the 1.5 millimeter prop, and that's the Tiny Whoop Red Rocket?
There are two motors. There's a Tiny Whoop iGAL motor, and then there's the Tiny Whoop Snowblower motor. They're 25,000 kV and 27,000 kV.
Let's see. Which of these is the ones with the 1.5 millimeter props?
So
shaft?
All the way off on the right in the middle, iGAL Season 4 Limited Edition.
I see.
And then there's one that'll say Snowblower. And they're
snowblower.
White.
There they are. Ah, okay.
There it is.
So these are going to be overkill for a 65 millimeter, but just about perfect for a 75 millimeter. We don't have those lit. Should we add those? Should we add those to the?
They're fairly new. Yeah, we should add them.
Okay. Let's. Yeah, and maybe we get a little discussion up here. Oh, see, I'm making more work for you. Damn it.
It's okay. They're brand new. Right. They're only like a couple months old. They came out after we did this page.
Awesome. Okay. And then we come to, I don't know if there's as much discussion to be had about this section. We got battery chargers. We got, you know, that I think is the most interesting stuff on the page, where we're having you to explain it really adds the most value. So, if you guys disagree with anything we've said here, surely that won't happen. Tell us in the comments, because I trust your opinion a lot. I value your, but you know, there's other people in the world who disagree with you who are also, you know, smart people. So I'd like to hear what you think of Ciotti's selections, and so would he. He can't wait to hear how dumb we are. Oh, you think we are. Or if you are interested in picking up any of this stuff, please go use the links over on fpvknowitall.com, the ultimate FPV shopping list. Those are affiliate links. That's what, I mean, makes all this work worth it. When you click those links, we get a small commission every time you do a purchase from the vendor. So it means a lot if you use them. Thank you so much, Ciotti, for putting yourself out there.
You're certainly welcome.
I wanted to make this page and was like, I don't know enough about Tiny Whoops to make this page. And I'm really glad you stepped up to do it. I really appreciate it. Ciotti's YouTube channel is also down in the video description if you want to check out some of the work he's doing. Let's give him a video of yours to go watch, Ciotti. I'll put a card on screen. What should it be?
Jeez, I'll put up a Tiny Whoop drift car chasing edit. How about that?
You chased a drift car with a Tiny Whoop?
RC Shut drift up. Cars.
Oh, ooh.
My new favorite right. thing to do.
All right, we're going to send you over there and you can check that out. I'll see you there. I got to go watch that video.